Let's turn together in God's Word to the book of Isaiah. If you will, we have many verses to look at this morning. I'd ask that each of you, if you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you, in the rack. If you will follow along, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. I do want us to begin this morning in the book of Isaiah in chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, we'll read a couple of verses here, and then we'll go into the New Testament, to the book of Luke, chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 3, but let's back up and begin reading in verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. Take note of that phrase. Even everyone that is written, or literally that word written there means recorded. Even everyone that is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. Now flip over to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and one verse here, verse 20. These are the words of Christ. He's speaking to his disciples, and we're just going to jump in here. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Christ says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you." The 70 disciples that he sent out to work great works among the people, they came back rejoicing that the spirits were subject unto him. But he said, in this rejoice not, but rather rejoice, and notice this phrase, because your names are written in heaven. Because your names are written in heaven. I want us to consider for a moment this morning this recording that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, and also this book here spoken of, or at least alluded to, when Christ said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This book is actually spoken of quite a bit in God's Word. As a matter of fact, several books are mentioned. We have books of death and books of works, and as we have said before, God is a record-keeping God. He really is. But the book I want us to consider is distinguished from all other books. And this book has a real special title too. It is the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. There is, I will admit, a lot of mystery surrounding this book. There are some things, though, that God does reveal about it in His Word. You know, as sometimes when things are mysterious, we just kind of put them away instead of digging through God's Word and finding out what is revealed. We take it from a negative aspect. Oh, that's too mysterious for us. There's too many things that we can't know about that subject, instead of delving into God's Word and looking at what we can know by His Word. This book, as we have read, should bring some real rejoicing to the hearts of the Lord's people over the fact that our names are written in it. But I got to ask you, do we rejoice in it? Have we even considered it very much? Like I said, we might not have considered it too much, or we might not consider it too much because it's just, you know, too mysterious. I was thinking about how many messages I've ever heard on the Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't know that I've heard very many. I might be able to count them on one finger, but I can definitely count them on one hand. I don't know if any messages. It's been a long time if I have. So may the Lord guide us and cause us to know what he has revealed about this book, that we might know why we should rejoice in it, and that we might rejoice aright. First, the Lamb's Book of Life is a very unique book in many ways. And the first part of that I want us to consider is that it is a book of great antiquity. Turn over to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, and we're just going to pull something out of this verse. In Revelation 17 and verse 8, it says this about this great book. Right in the middle, I don't want to get our mind going off on something else here. So I just want to pick out this phrase right in the middle of verse 8, and actually we'll come back to this verse. And it says this of this book, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now that's a negative way of saying that this book was written before the foundation of the earth. It is a book of great antiquity. Now, before creation, before time, before heaven, before earth, before animate and inanimate creation, when there was only God in His glorious Godhead, only God in His glorious solitude, God wrote a book. And in this book, He wrote certain names of certain men. I'm talking about real names of real men, women, boys and girls who were yet to be created by Him. Real names. Now with my finite mind, I can kind of picture it like this and the surroundings of it like this. And I'm not just drawing this out of thin air. I'm taking it from what some things I might know very little about, but at least I know something about them. I kind of picture it like this. The glorious triune Godhead met together there in eternity past. And they met together in justice and mercy. The Psalms talks about justice and mercy kissing one another. They met there, and there in eternity past, the Godhead, God chose to save a people. And a covenant was made and agreed upon. And Brother Bud's already mentioned that our God is not a general God. He is a very specific God. He is a very personal God. This covenant wasn't a general covenant at all. It was very personal. So personal it was that actual offices within the Godhead, specific offices, were ordained and appointed. And these are the offices. God the Father is the fountain of all grace. God the Son, Jesus Christ the Lord, He is the channel of all grace. And God the Holy Spirit, He is the administrator of all grace. And then the recipients of God the Father's saving grace and God the Son's redeeming grace and God the Spirit's effectual grace, all the recipients' names were written in this book. Each one from every tribe and every kindred and every tongue upon the earth, names of people from every walk of life, from every age of time upon the earth. And I want to tell you something. God's mercy is so great that this book, it's not just a little loose-leaf notebook. No, this is a great book in size. God's mercy is so great that the number of the names written there exceeds by far the abilities and the arithmetic of man. This covenant was made and the offices were appointed, and these names, this great number of names of real men, real women, real boys, real girls, they were written down. And in time, the appointed Redeemer came. Now, we should know something by this. We should draw this. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, He knew what He was getting into when He came to this earth. He knew everything about it. The lie that man and Satan would have us to think that Christ came here in hopes that He could do some work, that's just what it is. It's a lie from Satan himself. The Lord Jesus Christ covenanted, the Godhead covenanted together, and the names of those that covenant, that everlasting covenant of grace was ordained for, those, the names were written in the book. And in time, Christ came with those names upon His heart and upon His mind. And He came to this earth, He knew by name those that He came to save. Each and every one of them, He knew them by name. He had written their names in the book with His own hand. He had written it in eternity past before the foundation of the earth. I want to tell you something. This is some book. This Lamb's Book of Life. It's some book. It is a book of great antiquity. Not only was it written in eternity, but it also is a book which concerns life. Life. Look over at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Once again, we're going to come back to dealing with the context, but I want you to see something here. Revelation 3 and verse 5, it says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." The book of life. "But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." 8 times in God's Word, this book is said to be the book of life. We should know if this book was written in eternity past, this life which it speaks of is more than just these physical lives. As a matter of fact, this book is spoken of in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations that we're going to see in a moment. But that account given there in the 20th chapter is an account in which is after these physical lives are over. So this book of life, when it's talking about life, it is more, much more than physical life. Yes, everyone in it will have a physical life, but it's more than that. The fact is that the life of this great book goes far beyond the moment of these physical lives. The life it speaks of, yea, that it even guarantees, is that of spiritual life. Unending, everlasting life. Like we spoke of earlier this morning, things are not always as they seem. You know, there are some here this morning that live physically, but are dead spiritually. But Lord willing, there are those here today that are now dead that may yet live, whose names are written in this book of life. And there are those that are dead today in the graveyard, but are more alive today than they have ever been because their names were written in this book. This book and the life it speaks of is from eternity to eternity. The book of life. Something else we need to learn about this life of the Lamb's Book of Life. In this life is seen physical, but especially spiritual life. It is spiritual life that it speaks of when it is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And we understand that this is a good gift of salvation. This is spiritual life is a gift of God's grace. It is a gift of God's salvation. It is a sovereign mercy given unto a certain people, this spiritual life is. Now we believe that when God saves a person, they are preserved in Christ. As I was studying this passage and preparing this message, I came to this part and after I was through, I was like, I don't think they'll get a thing out of that. I was trying to, but you know what? This morning, our bulletin talks about really preservation, perseverance. The psalm that we read talked about preservation and perseverance. So I trust, even though I can't, the Lord's going to make this real to you. But the fact of the matter is, we believe that when God saves a person, they are preserved in Christ. It's called preservation of the saints. It's called security of the believer. Some would even call it once saved, always saved. But many who oppose this truth might say, well, if you believe that it gives you, if you believe that once saved, always saved stuff is what they usually say, then you believe that that just gives you a license to sin, just to live like you want to. They say this in ignorance or in rebellion to this life, though, that we're talking about here. They say that in rebellion or ignorance to this life that is given to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let me say it like this. We believe in preservation of the saints and perseverance of the saints. Brother Pugh, I never will forget it. He said he was a tulip man. Two P's on the end. Preservation and perseverance of the saints. And he's right. He's right. I want to tell you something else that should confirm it in your heart a lot more than that. Not only do we believe it, not only do I believe it, but God believes it. He believes in the perseverance and the preservation of the saints. As a matter of fact, this life that the Lamb's Book of Life, that life that it's all about, it guarantees it. It guarantees it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look in Revelation 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What if I told you that those living in this time we're reading about here, those spoken of here that are the Lord's redeemed, what if I told you that they will be he that overcometh? What if I told you that their names will not be blotted out of the book, and that Christ will, he shall confess their names before his Father and his angels? You might say, now, where'd you get that from, preacher? Because the life of the Lamb's Book of Life guarantees it. The life. It's in the life. Look now over to Revelation 13 and verse 4. I want to show you something else here. Revelation 13 and verse 4. Now, verse 4, we're just going to get a context of what's being said here. It says, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? That's beast and this dragon. This is Satan and his followers and the Antichrist. Now look at verse 8. Pay special attention here. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. He's talking about the beast and the dragon. All that live upon the face of the earth will worship the dragon, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Now, would it be right to say that these who refuse to worship the dragon, who refuse to worship Satan, that they are overcomers? Absolutely, it'd be right to say they're overcomers. Everyone else, all that dwell upon the earth, worshiped him, but who? Everyone that dwelt upon the earth worshiped Satan, except who? Those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They didn't worship Satan. You see, God's not going to blot one name out, but they will overcome these overcomers. They will be the overcomers because of the life, because we could call it the serving grace, the perseverance given by the grace of God unto those that He saves, unto those that He chose before the foundation of the earth, unto those that whose names He wrote in this book. The perseverance of the saints of God is guaranteed because the life-giving Spirit of Christ lives within them. That too was worked out in the great covenant of grace. That too was guaranteed in the great covenant of grace that was established long before the world began. So what have we learned so far? The Lamb's Book of Life contains the names of God's elect. The Lamb's Book of Life was written in eternity past. The Lamb's Book of Life, the life it speaks of, is spiritual life. The life it speaks of, the life spoken of in the Lamb's Book of Life, guarantees the perseverance of those whose names are written there. Now, thirdly, if by God's grace our names are written in this great book, we should indeed rejoice. We should rejoice first because of what we will be delivered from. What we will be delivered from. Back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. God's Word says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered." But that's not where it stops, is it? "Thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Will those that are written in the book persevere? It says, "Thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Is Christ's work sufficient today? Did He finish? Did He save the people that He came to save? Or is He just trying to save them? Everyone whose name is found written in the book shall be delivered. That's the answer, ain't it? Verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Brothers and sisters, we should rejoice that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because we will be delivered from great tribulation. From great tribulation. That's what it's talking about in verse 1. Great tribulation. I thank the Lord He's going to deliver us from great tribulation. I want to tell you, and this is talking about the time when the Lord will pour out His wrath upon the earth, it will be a time of great tribulation. I am so thankful that the Lord cares so much about His people that He's going to take them to be with Him before that begins. And we will be delivered from great tribulation. There is a great day of tribulation coming, and it's coming soon. But praise be to the glory of God's grace. If He has written our names in His book, we will be delivered and will be caught up in the clouds to be with Him forever and ever. Second, if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will be delivered from death. Not, once again, the emphasis is not on physical death here, but eternal, spiritual death, eternal death and hell. Hold your place. Put your finger there in Daniel 12 and turn back again to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. This is what we are going to be delivered from. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And how we ought to rejoice that we are going to be delivered from this. Revelation 20 and verse 11. Let's start in verse 10 to kind of give it an idea of the context. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now listen. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." And notice verse 15. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Is that not a negative way of saying those whose names were found written there were delivered from the lake of fire? I want to give you another look at this. Daniel 7. Go back to Daniel 7. Daniel 7 and verse 9. Let's back up to verse 10. I tell you what, let's back up to verse 8. Trying to jump in here somewhere, but it's all good. Daniel 7 and verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, we've talked about near-reaching and far-reaching aspects of prophecy in this prophecy of the horns here. There is a lot of that. These horns actually speak of kingdoms, which is actually revealed to us in the next chapter. But it also speaks of Satan and the beast, and the dragon and the beast, the same thing we saw in the other chapter. So in verse 9, notice this. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. Now that may be the thrones of the horns were cast down, or it may be actually here in this Nelson Bible, the index literally says that the thrones were put in place. I beheld till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now, if you go to the first chapter of Revelation, you'll see almost that same revelation of Christ. Okay? Notice verse 10. Remember what we just read about the lake of fire and about the white throne judgment. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. I like this part. Thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. I'm going to tell you, I don't know for sure, but I just think, brothers and sisters, we're going to be in the thousands that minister to him. We're not going to be sitting in front of him at that white throne judgment. We're not going to be set there for judgment. He's already taking care of us at the judgment seat of Christ. At the white throne judgment, it's the dead that he's judging there. The dead. That's the 10,000 times 10,000 that stood before him. Notice what it says. The judgment was set, or that literally means the court was seated and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and destroyed and given to burning flame. There's Satan cast into the pit. Cast in the pit. Brothers and sisters, rejoice that by God's grace, our names are written in heaven. He has given us eternal life, persevering life, and deliverance from great tribulation, but even more from hell's eternal death. He has caused us to be delivered, though we deserve it. He, in His grace and His mercy, has caused us to be delivered from the consuming fire of His righteous judgment. And make no mistake about it, that fire one day will go out. It will go out. The scene will unfold just like the scene that is revealed here in this book. One day we're going to witness these accounts being unfolded before our eyes. We're going to see the Ancient of Days sitting upon His throne and judging the dead. We're going to see it with our own eyes. I want to tell you, if you don't rejoice now, you will rejoice then, because you just don't. If we don't rejoice now, we really don't know what we've been delivered from. Oh, listen, God has greatly delivered us from some things that we just, our mind can't even get around. But I want to tell you something else. Get ready to rejoice even more, for our God is so great in mercy and in grace. Not only will He deliver us from the great fire of His judgment, but He is going to deliver us unto some glorious things. You know, that's just like the work of Christ. He takes away our sin, but His mercy don't stop there, does it? No, then He imputes righteousness unto us. And that's the way this deliverance is. God delivers us from some things that sin end in. Death, eternal hell, and judgment. He delivers His people from them. He's written our names in the book, and it guarantees that we will be delivered there because God's mercy guarantees it. And then He's going to deliver us unto some glorious things. I want you to get a glimpse of it right here in Daniel 7 and verse 13. Look what it says here. Daniel 7 verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. And His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. He's delivered us unto a kingdom, brothers and sisters, and that kingdom is coming. Now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of people that think that it's here and it's all just spiritual, but that don't sound very spiritual to me. I mean, it sounds spiritual, but not only spiritual, it's physical. He's going to give Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and what nations and languages should serve Him. I just think that it magnifies and exalts Christ to think that one day He's going to sit on the throne of David and rule over this world. And we that are His and His people are going to realize the righteous rule of a righteous King. And we're going to praise Him for that. He's going to be glorified in His people. He's going to be glorified. Flip over to Revelation 21. And I know it's several verses, but I want to read it. And we're almost through here. This will really wrap up this aspect, this portion of this message. I want you to see something. What Christ, our God, has delivered us unto. A glorious kingdom. But notice here in Revelation 21 and verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We've been delivered from the former things. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said, you can write them in a book. They're as good as done. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh, remember what I said about the overcomers? That book, our name in that book, guarantees us to overcome. Listen, though. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city and holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length of the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth a chrysophorus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of 1 pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. This is what we're being delivered unto. We can't even get our minds around it, can we? Oh, but that's not the most of it. As glorious as this might be when we see it at first glance, we're probably going to be at a loss for words, just like the Apostle John is. But that's not the best of it. Look at verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Notice that last phrase. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God has delivered us unto some glorious things. This is what we have to look forward to. If our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are going to inhabit the New Jerusalem. But the best part of that is we are going to be in the very presence and in the very glory of Christ our Lord. Every day our light will be Him. Every day. Is it any wonder the Lord told His disciples to rejoice in the fact that their names were written in heaven? Thanks of God. Rejoice. As the Apostle said, again I say, rejoice. For our names are written in heaven. I'm going to stop here and pick up with really the last point of this lesson, Lord willing, next week. But it is of utmost importance, and I don't want to have to rush through it. May the Lord help us to ponder these great truths concerning this wonderful book. May He indeed cause us to rejoice that our names are written, brothers and sisters, in the Lamb's Book of Life. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, do we have cause to rejoice? Is our name written in this book? Is it written in this book? It says no one else is going to inhabit that city except those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm so thankful for God's grace this morning that I can say, because the Spirit of the Lord testifies and witnesses unto me in my own heart, not because of me, but because of my Savior, He wrote my name in the book. He wrote it there, and no one can blot it out. But He won't. He won't. He wrote it there. He knew everything about me, and He wrote it there. Praise be to the glory of His grace. Praise be for these great revelations. See, now if we would have thought that Lamb's Book of Life was too mysterious for us to look upon, we would miss all these great things that are here written about that book. May the Lord help us to look positively and seek His truth in these things. I would tell you, Satan would be happy for us to sit on the sidelines and say, that's too mysterious for us to know about. No. It should cause our hearts to rejoice when we see great truths. God, in His own solitary before the world began, He's the one that came up with this book. He's the one that authored it. And He finished it. And He wrote the names of His people there. When He makes a roll, calls out roll one day, every one of us is going to say, "Here, Lord, here am I." Not one's going to be missed. Not one. Praise be to the glory of His grace. Let's all stand, and we'll be dismissed this morning. We're thankful for His Word this morning. We're thankful for the Lord's presence here with us. We pray that He will make His Word effectual to each of our lives.